This summer, evil has a new enemy. Justice has a new weapon. And the world has a new hero.
You're listening to Action Figure Blues Podcast, episode 251 for the week of Wednesday the 14th of December, 2016. I'm Eddie, and with me tonight are... well, no one else. Everyone else is on hiatus. This episode is brought to you by actionfigureblues.com. Tonight, join me in this first part of an in-depth special look at the world of McFarlane Toys Spawn action figure line. Hi guys, it's Eddie here. Now, if you are just tuning in, the regular Action Figure Blues has gone on a small little bit of a break. Some of the guys have been on the show recording for 5+ years, and the regular show is having a little bit of time off, so some of the guys can recoup, take some holiday time and spend some time with their families. But we are going to be popping in with a couple of special episodes for you every now and then, so you still get some treats in your iTunes feed. And I'm going to be doing one for you here today. This is something that I have actually wanted to do for a while over on Action Figure Blues, but it just didn't really have a place in our regular structure of episodes. I had thought about doing this idea maybe for a toy history or a line breakdown. I remember suggesting this character for a toy history, but on finding out that most of the other hosts didn't really collect this guy in any major way, didn't make for an interesting conversation for us as a group. But since we are breaking for regular format, I thought this might be a good chance to pull this out of the cupboard, dust off the chains and cobwebs, and record a special episode where I break down a very important action figure line for the world of collectors out there, and that is McFarlane Toys Spawn. Now, for those that don't know, Spawn was a huge comic book property in the 90s. Todd McFarlane is arguably one of the most popular comic book creators ever to existed. You've got some of the major ones like Stan Lee, Bill Finger, Jack Kirby, Walt Simonson. But Todd McFarlane was one of the kings during the high times of comics. So he was up there with other great creators like Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld when comics were huge, and being the superstar during the biggest time in the industry, he was very high regarded. He was working on the Spider-Man books at the time, most famous for his co-creation of the character Venom and kicking off his own Spider-Man title, which was the Adjectiveless Spider-Man book, which sold huge numbers in the millions, things that would really excite comic companies if they could get that sort of sales today. But the comic creators at Marvel weren't too happy with the amount of money Marvel was raking in, but they weren't seeing the large end side of the money, even though they were making more than any other comic creator has probably made in history before or since. Those guys decided to take these huge names that they'd built for themselves and start their own comic book company which was Image Comics, which is still around today and still is one of the big pillars of the comic book industry. These days, they're probably most famous for being the House of Walking Dead. But back in the 90s, you had these founding members putting out their own superhero books. The first one was Youngblood by Rob Liefeld, but the second one out the gate and their biggest success was Spawn by Todd McFarlane. That came out in May 1992 and was a massive seller. Spawn stayed in the top 10 on the charts for a very long time after its release. I believe even up to 98, it was still constantly there in the top 10 on the sales chart. So he was a huge seller, particularly for an indie book, and this was the time when the big two powerhouses were ruling overall. It was so successful that Marvel even created their own character, Nightwatch, that for all purposes was just a Spawn ripoff to try and capitalize in on his popularity. Now, Todd McFarlane was a big action figure collector, and he wanted to get his character of Spawn into the action figure world, and he actually did approach the regular companies to look at doing this, places like Mattel, Kenner, Hasbro, and he didn't like the pitches that he was being offered. They were just going to go with basic action figure designs for the day, very low quality sculpts, not that much paint detail, and this wasn't what Todd wanted. He had a great idea for an outstanding action figure line, and because he didn't like what these companies were pitching at him, he decided just to do things himself, and he literally founded his own action figure toy company, which early on was called Todd Toys, but then quickly changed to the name that we know today, which is McFarlane. Now, this was a big deal because McFarlane, in a lot of ways, was the birth of that adult collector figure company. Now, there probably were a couple of other ones before trying this and going for that more adult line, but McFarlane's really was the breakout one that started to hit mainstream retail while actually aiming at adult collectors. It wasn't from the get-go. Arguably, the first couple of lines still had a lot of those kid play elements, but why don't we sit right back and get into it and start breaking down this line. So before we look at the actual action figure line, I thought I'd do a quick recap for those of you who aren't too familiar with Spawn himself. So Spawn is, as mentioned earlier, a comic book created by Todd McFarlane. Spawn is a character called Al Simmons, who was a CIA hitman slash super spy, who was betrayed by his boss, Jason Wynn, who was killed on the job. Now, when Spawn was killed because of his life as a hitman, he ended up in the depths of hell. There, in order to see his wife again, Wanda, he made a deal with the devil Malbolger to return to Earth as one of his generals of his unholy army, and that is as a Hellspawn. So that's where the name Spawn comes from, is from the last five letters in being a Hellspawn. A Hellspawn is a general of Hell's army. It has a special necro suit, which is very similar to the Venom symbiote suit, which also played a part with another one of Todd McFarlane's creations, where it can create all sorts of different spikes and weapons out of itself. It has a fairly intelligent and free flowing cape that can be used for gliding and also become sharp and hard and quite spiky. He also seems to have chains wrapped around him that he can control. But when he returns to the world of the living, Al Simmons is no longer himself. He is this creature known as Spawn. His body is a wrecked decay from where he was burnt to death, which is actually quite confusing because he does visit his own grave and there lies the dead body of Al Simmons. So he's some sort of other unholy creation. It's also a bit more ahead in the timeline. He's been dead for 5 years by the time he returns and sees that his wife has remarried and also had the child that he could never have with her. So he's quite a tormented soul. And he ends up wandering the alleys of New York, where he becomes friends with fellow homeless people there, and he takes them under his wing and becomes a bit of a protector of the downtrodden. One of those homeless, though, is Cogliostro, who was a Spawn during the Dark Ages. Now, Cogliostro becomes a bit of his Yoda and trains Spawn in the ways of using the necroplasm suit. Spawn also has another advisor who's also a bit of an antagonist for him. It's a creature known as the Clown. He's a disgusting slob of a man who is also the demon known as the Violator. The Clown is an agent of Malbolgia. He is there to watch over Spawn, guide him, making sure that this chess piece on the board of the battle between heaven and hell is played on the right side, and he makes decisions that would help bring about the apocalypse. Now, Spawn does vary in its story. Sometimes it's a superhero tale, sometimes it's a horror tale, sometimes it's something more of a Dear John story like The Twilight Zone. Its storytelling has varied a fair bit, but that's the basic lore of it there. So, now that you know the story, let's have a look at the toys.
Straight from the comic book.
Get Spawn!
It's Spawn!
Vertebreaker! Spawn, look out!
Battling evildoers everywhere! Adventure with Spawn.
Okay, so here we are. It's 1994 and series one of Spawn has just come out and just started hitting the shelves. Now, little Eddie, he was very excited to see these toys on the shelf. He did have a small awareness of Spawn through some advertisements in comics. And while he didn't actually remember the initial release of the comic from being far too young, he was just beginning his school life, there were these grocery editions of Spawn done. And while on holiday, I remember coming across, I'm pretty sure it was the second issue. It was the one with the introduction of the Clown. And I remember looking at that on the comic book spinner rack in this seaside little town while on holiday. I eventually didn't pick that one up though. I went for a Ren and Stimpy comic instead because I was all about the Ren and Stimpy and anything Nickelodeon in those early days. But I definitely remember flicking through that book. And then these figures started turning up in comic book advertisements. And it was probably a couple of months from seeing the images to them hitting at stores here in Australia. But I was very excited because I thought these guys just look cool. The amount of detail and sculpt that was going on in these toys, even though at that young age I didn't recognize that there was a difference between these and the toys that were appearing elsewhere on the toy shelves, I knew that these guys look cool. So I definitely picked up a Spawn, took it over to my mother in the hopes of purchasing, and was very disappointed when she didn't allow me to buy these Spawn toys. Now, there could have been multiple reasons for this. My mum was the religious teacher of the town, and maybe picking up a figure that is based on the powers of hell might not have been the greatest of suggestions for little Eddie to make, but I do highly doubt that my mother actually read the back of the packet. Now, another reason might have been because young little Eddie wouldn't have checked the price of these toys. And they were actually more expensive than the average figure on the shelf. This was part of Todd McFarlane's motto of, if they're going to be a higher quality toy, you can charge slightly more for them so that you can put the detail in. Now, I don't know if that price really affected the Australian cost size. I know in the US they were slightly more expensive than your basic figure, but not my bunch. What I remember my mother telling me, the reason why she wouldn't buy me the first Spawn figure, is because his accessory was a plank of wood with a nail in it, and that was just very disturbing to her, and she also didn't like the chain, so it was probably more his very goth vibe going on for the reason why I wasn't allowed to purchase this. But this guy has remained one of my favourite action figures to this day. It's the original... what's sort of referred to as the superhero designer Spawn, where he has the red under the white bands on his chest. He has the red gloves still. He's got a nice flowing cape that opens up. He's got removable chains all over his body, and he's just a great basic buck figure, so much so that this buck has been reused a couple of times. There's lots of different versions of this basic Spawn figure that you can get. You can get him without the mask, with what's referred to as his hamburger head, which is sort of his burnt zombie face. There's a second version of this hamburger head where he has the stitches running down the middle of his face, which is actually from a Batman crossover issue where Batman threw a batarang right into the middle of his head there. So I have multiple versions of that. There's ones in black, there's ones in that sort of dark blue. There's a necroplasm or green version with a black cape, and multiple re-releases. The buck was also used for a figure coming up in Series 2. You also had the clown, which is the sort of, not the main arch enemy, but he's the frequent antagonist of Spawn, who's just sort of a fat, creepy clown guy. He actually has realistic hair here, and he had a gimmick where if you moved his arms, he'd swip over into his Violator face. And I always remember him because he has that cool accessory of the half-eaten turkey leg, just to add that sort of sloth design to him. But he's a bit of a creep. Now, you also get another version of this character, which is him in his demonic form as the Violator, which is sort of a demon creature. Now, this wasn't really an action figure as much as it was a bendy toy, just because the Violator has very thin limbs, and he would be very hard to pose otherwise. We get some other villains for Spawn here as well in Tremor and Overt Kill. Now, Tremor looks like a big sort of minotaur beast, and Overt Kill kind of looks like a bald Cable guy. These were characters that appeared in the comics when it was more its superhero version of the day. Spawn has gone through a lot of iterations and different styles of storytelling, and these guys were never major characters, but they were around in the early days of Spawn, so they sort of have longer legacies thanks to these figures than they do in the actual book itself. And lastly, you had what I thought at the time was just a variant, and the way we used to get like Lava Attack Batman or Jungle Force Spider-Man and all those types of toys and variants in the 90s. But we have Medieval Spawn. And what I'd learned once I actually started delving into the Spawn lore is Medieval Spawn is actually a character in the Spawn mythos. Spawn has many different legacy versions of himself. There's almost a Spawn for every decade and time out there in the world. And Medieval Spawn was actually created not by Todd McFarlane, but by Neil Gaiman in his issue of Spawn, which I believe was Spawn number 9, that actually ended up being a very controversial issue, but I'll get to that with another figure a little later on. But Medieval Spawn is a great design. It's sort of that almost takes from that buck of the original Spawn figure, but has him armored up in a more of a knight style, so the face mask actually comes out to points and looks more like a helm. than a cloth mask. His spikes are a bit bigger. He has armor pieces rather than sort of a flat bodysuit. He has a cool shield with a spawn symbol of the whites with green pupil eyes on black. And that's just a wonderful piece. Now, you also did get some what would be the more kiddified pieces of this toy line, which is you get a spawn mobile, a violator monster truck in terms of vehicles, and there's also a spawn alley action playset. Now, in the comic, Spawn does end up living in the streets of New York with homeless people. He becomes sort of the protector of New York's homeless. So having a spawn alleyway is an interesting choice. It has a breakthrough wall there and little missile firing pieces. It actually reminds me a lot from the old Ninja Turtles sewer lair. It sort of has a very much that kind of feel to it. So it does fit in, but these accessory pieces have always been a bit of an interesting choice there, and not anything that really sticks with the line too much longer. Now, there is a little bit of that as we move across into Series 2. Now, Series 2 actually came in a little bit short there, as the rumor goes. Apparently, the shipping container ship that was taking a lot of these guys had to abandon cargo when they hit high seas, and some of the pallets of Series 2 and possibly Series 3 were lost to the ocean. So these guys were in demand a bit very early on. Now, this series contains Pilot Spawn, which actually uses the buck of the original Spawn figure, but with some cool pilot accessories, sort of a targeting mask. He's got some gear on his arm. He has a gun and a knife that go into holsters there on his body. Now, there was a version of this that actually came with sort of a flying jet bike, which was the version that I owned as a kid, and I loved this guy. I just really liked the pilot design of Spawn, so he was a frequent participant in my Spawn playing days. Now, the other really cool one is Commando Spawn, where he comes loaded up with guns, which is a classic image of Spawn from the comics. Now, this is 90s, so the guns are huge, massive. They might be sort of a laser cannon, but they'll still have a chain of bullets coming out the side. Those sort of very classic style guns from 90s comic books that I'm sure that we all know out there. Now, another character that we have here in this wave is Chapel. Now, Chapel is actually from the Image Comics Youngblood, but he does have ties to Spawn in that he was the man who killed Spawn when he was alive, and a character known as Al Simmons. So it's part of Spawn lore, but also a bit of an Image crossover there. Now, he does come with another Youngblood character with his Badrock coming in here as well. So at this point, there still hadn't been that many issues of the comic that had made it out. So in these early days of the series, we're going to notice Todd borrows from other Image comics to get some figures in here to fill out the bulk of the line. And the last character for this wave we have is probably the most controversial character in the Spawn lore, and that's Angela. Now, for those of you wondering, Angela, wait, she's a Marvel character who appears in Guardians of the Galaxy. You're half right. This was her first appearance, was in Spawn. It was actually in issue number 9 with the Medieval Spawn, written by Neil Gaiman. Now, I'm not going to go into it here because it could be a podcast onto itself, but Neil and Todd had a bit of a falling out over the rights of Miracle Man, and part of the end settlement of that was Neil Gaiman got a hold of the rights of Angela because he had created her in issue 9, and apparently there was nothing in the contract for his work for hire that said that he didn't get to keep the characters that he created. So he passed the rights of Angela on to Marvel which is how she made it over there into that universe. But at the time of these figures, she was in and part of the Spawn line, and she had a ton of variants based on this figure. Now, once again, being a controversial character, she also had a controversial variant, which was, I believe it was the original releases of these. She had no painted-on underwear underneath her little skirt, so it was considered a bit of a controversial variant there that was known as the Nude Angela variant, but later releases and variants definitely had that area painted over for those concerned parents who were picking this action figure line based on Hal up for their kids. But she was a very popular character back in the day and definitely remains one still talked about heavily. And as I'm recording this episode, we're about to see her get her first Marvel Legends figure. So she's still around in the action figure land today. Now, the one figure that I skipped from this wave talking about, because he's, I always forget he actually ended up, he's technically in the main series run of this wave, and that is the main antagonist of Spawn, the man who created him, Mal Bolger, who is the demon creating Spawns. Now, Mal Bolger is a huge figure. Like, if we were to get this line today, he would be a separate 12-inch figure that you would be charged a huge amount for. But back then, they had him just squatting down, taking up pretty much the whole blister card to fit him in the bubble. And even then, his arms and legs were all squished in as best as they could. It looks like he's doing a bit of a squat to fit him in the packet. But he's a huge toy. And it's amazing to think that back in the day, he was just released as a basic figure there on the blister card. Now, we also got Series 3 this year in 1995, and there we had one of the brothers of Violator, Vertebraker. We had the Heavens version of Spawn, which is the Redeemer. See his first release in his, so it's sort of his less common design, which is in a purple cape. We had our first Ninja Spawn. We have another villain of Spawn from the comics known as the Curse, which was a character who believed Spawn to be a messenger sent from God, and who was a highly religious man who was quite jealous of Spawn. So he's a very interesting character and very heavy in the Spawn mythos. We also have a future Spawn, and we get our first version of a Angela variant, which is a cosmic Angela. And we also get our second figure based on the main Spawn, Al Simmons. This figure is known as Spawn 2, and it's sort of the first design, we're not quite fully there yet, of the second Spawn outfit, where he doesn't have the red under the whites on his chest, and you're starting to see a much larger gauntlet boot forming there on his right leg. Now, this one has a sort of split mask in the middle, so one side is the regular Spawn mask, the other side is the hamburger face, and he's got sort of a destroyed cape forming out into back wings that have a bit of an action feature that as you squeeze starts to open up there and look like it's flapping. He also comes with some massive cable style guns again, and I remember him being quite rare, but he's probably my least favourite of the early Al Simmons Spawns here. It was just, I always hated this gimmick. I remember a few Spider-Mans doing this, where you'd have a half and half mask. It just never really happened in the stories, and just always seemed bad. I would have just much preferred the full mask on him, which I believe there was a variant of later on. Now, I should say, when I'm talking about variants, there are so many variants on all these figures that it's hard to know all of them. Some of them were little touches, such as wearing helmets in the packets, or off to other ones where they're almost brand new figures. So whether important, I'll talk on it, but it is hard to keep track of all of them here. Now, we are starting to see much more action features in the line. I talked about Redeemer, who is the Heaven Spawn. He sort of has light up hands there. Curse has some sort of flicking chainsaw action. There are little pieces like that starting to go on more and more here in the figures as we get into the 90s. Another cool piece that was released as part of the third series is the Violator Chopper, which is a giant sort of hog-like motorbike that comes straight out of hell. So it has all sorts of guts and bones thrown over it. Now, the Violator that we actually get here with this figure is much, much bigger than the regular release. Even though it is the same basic design, that was taken from the Violator figure released in the first series. He's probably about twice the height, and his head's twice as large, and this is much more in keeping in scale with the Violator from the comics. So if you can pick up that Violator Chopper, if you're looking for a good scale comparison in your Spawn figures, he's probably the best Violator from these early years to get and add in there to your collection. Now, moving from 95 into 96, we started to see much more waves hitting each year. We had Series 4. Now, Series 4 was probably the first wave not to hit Australian retail, so I only have mainly secondhand knowledge of this wave. It wasn't really appearing on store shelves for me. I remember seeing a couple of them in comic stores over the years, but we have the second Violator figure. Even though I just talked about a different one, this being a brand new sculpt. So it's him in hard plastic rather than bendable parts. And he also has some cybernetic additions to him in some versions, which I don't really like having cybernetic parts on the Hell Creature. But having cybernetic parts was hugely popular in the 90s and on variants of toys. So here we have it here. We also have the She-Spawn, which is a female version of the Spawn. Now, this will be a popular variant that they keep coming back to through with its designs. We have the Jim Valentino Shadowhawk character. Now, this is another superhero character from Image Comics that Todd was using to fill up the line here with characters, since once again there's probably less than 40 issues of Spawn out at this point, so, and a lot of Todd's stories do tend to move fairly slow, so not a lot of new characters being introduced, so he was relying on his other friends around at Image and giving them a chance to get their toys put out here in plastic form. And it's around this time that McFarlane Toys was starting to blow up. They were being, well, they were a huge part of any sort of comic book store that you'd walk into at the time. He was actually even expanding out into other lines. Rob Liefeld's Youngblood actually even got its own line of figures from McFarlane, as well as Wetworks, which was another Image Creators comic, Will Spatasio. And here we're seeing some of the other people's figures being made. Now, we also have the Max, which once again falls into this category. It was a comic by Sam Keith, and he's sort of a big purple Hulk looking guy. We do get an exoskeleton Spawn, so this is a Spawn that basically uses dinosaur bones for armor, which is pretty cool. We get one of the fan favorites from this Spawn comics, which is Cygor, who's a kind of a cross between Cable and a gorilla, who's just an awesome design, and definitely not the last we'll hear of him in the Spawn comic lines. And we get our second clown, which is the clown loaded up with all sorts of different guns and explosives on his body. Now, similar to the cybernetic Violator, this is never really seen in the comics too much. Clowns generally more the wisecracking guy on the side of the battlefield than actually joining in the action, so it's a bit weird, but hey, they were looking to sell toys here. Now, an interesting piece here is he actually has that sort of smiley yellow face emoji which might seem common to people these days, thanks to emojis on phones, but the yellow smiley face, while very popular with the Watchmen fan crowd, was actually a copyrighted image, and a lot of people got in trouble for using it, so it is interesting to see that it was here on a figure in the 90s, which was probably the height of its controversial use time. Moving on, we have Spawn Series 5. Now, this was another one that didn't make it to Australian retail, but I do remember this wave because it was on the back of a card back I used to stare at all the time, which I'll get to in a second. So we have the Widowmaker, who, similar to Angela, is part of the Sephiric Angel Warriors. Now, she's not an angel warrior herself, she's sort of a evil version of them, but very similar in design. We have a Viking Spawn, which is very cool. I do love when Spawn gets into different historical eras and we see Spawns of yesteryear, and he's looking fairly cool with his big Viking axe and nice dagger. He looks a lot of great sculpting coming in here, where we see sort of fur tied up to his body, similar to how a Viking would have had it. Now, he does have a horned helmet. Now, I'd probably be disappointed as someone who works with history not to point out Vikings didn't actually have horns on their helmet, but hey, a lot of Spawn isn't historically accurate. It's going for that cool visual look, so I'll definitely be forgiving it here. Now, just while I'm talking on the sculpt, I should drop in. It was around this era that they had some sculptors working at McFarlane Toys who would eventually go on and form their own company known as the Four Horsemen. So this is where we start to see some of the work of Eric Treadaway and Cornboy there. Now, it wasn't in the Spawn line. I believe it was the Total Chaos line, but we actually do get a character known as Cornboy, and that is based off the Four Horsemen designer. And in McFarlane's little monster dioramas, a lot of the people there in those are sculpted to look like many of the members of Four Horsemen, so they did chuck in a few little Easter eggs there for themselves, which is pretty neat. Moving on with Series 5, we also have the Vandalizer. He's another brother of Violator. We get our second Tremor figure, who's looking much more cybernetic here with different tubes and that. Now, he has a very Mosquito from He-Man vibe to him, where you can pump bloods and fluids through these tubes. He's also got cool spikes coming out of his arm there. Now, he was a character, he always did have a bit of cybernetics with him. That original arm on the original figure had an action feature, it would punch out with a cybernetic arm. So it's not exactly uncommon for him to have these pieces on him, so it does work. And I just really like the sculpt that's done on this Tremor. I'm a big fan of it. Now, there are a couple of different variants of this that come in the less common Tremor colours. But him in his classic colours here of black and orange is the best. Now, teaming up is his action figure paired buddy of Overt Kill. Now, he's looking a lot more stylized here. He almost looks like he's an Ashley Wood drawing, and his arm comes with swappable pieces. But the reason we're seeing a revisits to these characters is the figure line has sort of changed a little bit now. As I mentioned, we have some new sculptors working on it. They've also slightly grown by about an inch or so. They're still maintaining this same sort of level of 5 or 6 points of articulation here, but they are beginning to change, similar to when Toy Biz went from the thin Marvel figures to that sort of more bulked up style around this same time period of 96. So we're going to see some revisits of characters in this new style. And the last one from the wave is a Nuclear Spawn from sort of a post-apocalyptic hellscape, which isn't the last time that we're going to see that sort of theme go into a Spawn. We see Spawns from the past, but we're also going to see Spawns from the future. Now, moving on to Spawn Series 6 at the tail end of 96. This line I remember quite well. As I mentioned, I was not allowed to buy the early wave of Spawns. But by the time we get to this wave, I was able to get away with it. Not only that, but wave 6 here actually ended up at deep discounts at a toy store here known as Toy World. So I believe they were only like $4 each for a figure. So I pretty much got to pick up all this wave. So we have Tiffany the Amazon, who's another Sephiric Warrior Angel. She sort of replaced Angela later on when some of the legal action against Angela started to come into play. And she definitely had a fairly large role to play in Spawn lore moving forward. We have Spawn, Todd using the Spawn line once again to give character options to another one of his image creators, but this one was a bit of an interesting one. This is Super Patriot. Now, Super Patriot comes from the Savage Dragon comic book by Eric Larson. Now, you might be wondering, oh, it's weird that they would use a side character from that book for a toy when they haven't made a Savage Dragon himself. Now, Savage Dragon was actually a Saturday morning cartoon by this point, and the toy license was owned by Playmates Toys, who were making also the Turtles and another image license of Wildcats, which was Jim Lee's figures. So Todd couldn't make a Savage Dragon, even though Savage Dragon had teamed up with Spawn. But we got a Super Patriot made here. Now, like Angela, he's also, in a way, gotten a Marvel legend as well, as he was in the legendary comic book Superheroes by Toy Biz. So that might be an interesting pairing there as image characters that have kind of gotten Marvel legends in a way. But he was always very cool to me as a kid. He's sort of like a cybernetic. There we are. We're back at this theme once again. Cybernetic Captain America, who has the American flag as sort of a full head mask, but has little goggles coming out. And you can remove his arms and attach on giant cybernetic gun arms. Now, from memory, his story is pretty much just Captain America, you know, World War II soldier, I believe, cryogenically frozen and woken up through. But very cool character there. Now, moving on, we have, forgive my pronunciation here, Sanxga, which is kind of a snake-like demon creature. Now, I do remember this guy actually did appear in the Spawn comics, but I'm not 100% sure on what his story was in the end. I know he had something to do with the curse, but I'm blanking a bit on his story. But he is a great design there of a sort of like snake demon creature. We have Mutant Spawn, which is kind of a weird hodgepodge of cybernetic parts and organic pieces. It's very hard to describe audibly. I definitely just recommend looking up a picture of this guy, but very weird design. Now, he was one I didn't own because he was a separate box figure and we didn't get him in the cheap bins as it came through. We have the Freak, which was the second Spawn figure that I ever owned, and considering that my mother didn't buy me the first Spawn figure because he had a block of wood with a nail coming out of it, and yet my second one being the Freak is a big jump. Freak is sort of really just a psycho killer. He comes with all sorts of horrible attachments like large knives, a death scythe, a hacksaw, a saw blade, and just a bag sort of wrapped with barbed wire. And he sort of looks like a thin, strung out junkie, almost a possessed version of Iggy Pop. And he's a very despicable character from the comics and Spawn lore, but a very interesting and cool design. Now, the first Spawn figure I ever got actually wasn't an Al Simmons Spawns, but it was the main Spawn of this line, which is Battleclad Spawn. And he's meant to be from almost a Neanderthal-like era where people would make armor out of mud, I remember them saying, on the back of the packet, which is kind of weird, and I thought was historically accurate for a while, except as an adult I know that this didn't really happen, but he was kind of like a cool armor-up design figure, so you could take the armor pieces off and attach them on and have him either full-bodied or not. Now, he actually did sort of look like Spawn. The armor, at least on the version I had, there was a couple of different color variants, but he had sort of the black armor with the white bands there on his chest and a fairly full mask on. So he did very much have that Spawn design style to him. So you could easily mistake him for the Al Simmons Spawns, which he was in a lot of my playing of the character. And the last Spawn of the wave is an alien Spawn, and he kind of looks more like an alien from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, or sort of a Hulk Spawn, more than what you would think an alien would look like, but then there's so many different designs for aliens out there in the world, it's hard to pick one, but it's meant to be an alien that's been turned by Malbolger into a Hell Spawn himself. Moving on from 96, and we get to 97, which was a huge year for Spawn. For those that don't know, this is the year that the movie hit, so the comics were selling extremely well. People were getting in on the hype of Spawn. There are lots of different waves and different figures that came out and were launched this year, and we saw a heavy, heavy impact of Spawn at retail. Now, for those who are younger, it wasn't a common thing to have a movie at the cinemas based on a superhero comic, so we were all very excited for this movie, and this movie today, for me, remains a very guilty pleasure. It's not a good movie. I'm going to let you in on that secret. It is not a good movie. I do not recommend watching it, because you're going to be impressed with how good this movie is, but I do love it and watch it quite a bit and can quote it quite frequently. And every now and then in life you'll run into another fan of that Spawn movie, and quoting some of the clown's lines back and forth is just some of the best fun you can have. But because of all the hype, we also got, I'm going to argue, some of the best Spawn figures that have ever been released. Starting with Spawn Series 7, we have Zombie Spawn, which has kind of always been an oxymoron to me, because Spawn basically is a bit of a zombie anyway, as a dead man walking around. But this is a cool, more zombified up version. He's got a chainsaw, another massive gun. He's got a cool little handgun that slides into his belt there, but a very cool design. We have a Scourge, who's sort of a bone creature monster. We have a character called Nobody, who's basically sort of organic organs inside a robotic creature. We have the Mangler, which is a werewolf version of a Hellspawn. That's I didn't actually realize at first. I just thought he was his own unique character. But once you sort of know he's a Spawn as well, you can see it around the eyes with the white mask and the green eyes on a black body. But a very cool design there. And we have sort of this weird pirate meets hardware villain known as Crutch, who actually uses a whippersnipper that's covered in blood as his crutch. So some really cool design work there. Now, this wave did hit very heavily at retail, and I remember it quite well, because I can tell you, Nobody and Crutch were some of the most iconic peg warmers ever in existence in my childhood. I would not be surprised today if I could still find you a Crutch at some of the toy stores that were around back in the day that this line came out on. He seemed to be for years and years, and arguably probably why we didn't get a couple of the later waves in at our retail here. And Nobody, I actually really like Nobody as a figure. He's got some great robotic designs all throughout him there. The head that goes in the body is actually kind of cool and disgusting and has a lot of detail and paintwork on him, but he's quite disturbing. But with those two aside, there were some fantastic figures here in this wave that flew off the shelves very quickly. The first two, because you actually got two in a basic figure pack, so much like that Malbolger I mentioned earlier, this was great value for money. And it was two iconic Spawn characters that had been pushed for figures for a very long time, and that's Sam and Twitch. Sam and Twitch are just two basic police detectives that's investigating murders and that go on in the Spawn Alley. I'm doing air quotes with my fingers here. And these are huge fan favorite characters, so mini fans were definitely excited to finally get plastic versions of these two. Now, they came in a couple of different forms. Sam, who's the larger, more obese, more classic style detective in the trench coat, he pretty much stays the same. There's just a slight colouring change to his shirts and jackets. But one of the Twitches comes with a flat vest jacket, because he is a sharpshooter. The reason he's called Twitch is because he never twitches under pressure. And there's also a version of him just in a fairly basic police suit, which is my preferred version, and that's the version that I own, is the two of them looking much more like detectives, because that's what you would generally see them doing, is just heading around interviewing people. And you'd often see a lot of Spawn stories were told from these two and their perspective on elements. Now, there's been a rumoured Spawn 2 for years and years, and Todd McFarlane has constantly said these two are the stars of the Spawn 2 script. Spawn has very little involvement, apparently, in his Spawn 2 scripts. He's just an element more than a character running around in the background. And the bulk of the story would be told through these two here, Sam and Twitch. So huge characters here. It's shocking it took to Series 7 to get them. And amazing that they came in the same packet, because they are two figures onto themselves. But a great piece that definitely sold very quickly. I remember I came across these two when I was in holiday up in Sydney. But it was in a toy store that was very, very expensive. Sydney seemed to be a lot more expensive than Melbourne, where I'm from at the time, for toys. It's, I think they were around $17, which was huge for a basic single figure back then. So I was not allowed to purchase them there on that trip, and I never saw them on retail. Since then, I had to pick them up through regular collector means. But the other awesome piece from this series was Spawn 3. So this was the new Al Simmons version of Spawn. And like Spawn 2, he comes with this massive sort of fold-out cape that forms into almost batwing type arms coming out from the side as if he's flying down from building top. And he looks spectacular. Now, this is the first time we sort of get the proper look of the Spawn outfit that he wears for most of his run for the comics. It's how Greg Capullo, when he was working on the character for many, many years, would draw him, where he's got that big gauntlet boot. He's sort of got like an arm shield gauntlet piece on his right arm as well, and then more studs up through his right arm. And the cape sort of comes around much higher on the collar, and he's got these sort of little twisty shoulder pieces on the cape. And it's fantastic. Now, I love this figure. I'm going to argue this is the best version of the Al Simmons Spawn out there in plastic form. But it's not this one here. So this one here, as I mentioned, it has the Batwing fold-out cape. Now, they did do a few variants of this figure over the years. So there was one done that came in what's known as a fish tank. It was a special collector box that Spawn would do over these coming years. I'll talk about its couple of other figures that came in it, but it came in that, and instead of having a Mars Spawn, it came with his hamburger face, but they did a new cape for it that sort of wraps around and hugs his chest and then sprawls out in front of him. And that cape is an awesome piece of plastic design. It definitely gives you the bulk of that cape, but it gives you that cool Spawn slender at the waist silhouette that he's often drawn and presented with, which none of the figures have actually given us up to this point. So he's an awesome figure, and once I had him in hand, he was my favorite go-to play with Spawn figure, because particularly around this time they were drawing him less and less with the mask on and more the hamburger head. So I was okay with that as a kid, but my preferred choice, I love the Spawn mask. And they did do a version of this figure with the Spawn mask on. It was done through McFarlane Toys themselves as a collector figure, and he is impressive. So he comes with the Spawn mask on, but he has the rubber cape of the fish tank version. And I actually don't own this figure. He goes for quite a bit, even to this day, on the secondary market. But having all the elements of him on different figures, I would definitely say that once you combine all them together, he would be my favorite version of Spawn in plastic form. This is all the elements of the character in one classic, easy to pick up if you've got the means version. So out of all the figures that they've done of Spawn, that would be the main one to go to, I think, if you wanted a one iconic version of him. Now, most collectors would argue with me on this point. There is another figure coming up much later on that we'll touch on that tends to be the more go-to for this option. Now, he's also quite expensive on the secondary market, even more expensive than this guy. But we'll touch on that as I get around to him later on. But the Batwing version is quite easily available and is a great substitute if you are looking for a cheap version of him. There was a couple of weird variants with him. So he originally came with a little owl creature that got swapped out for a wolf sort of animal familiar with him there later on. And he also came with a little hanging bat that you could hang off him, but I never quite liked because he sort of had a J plug of plastic there on the side. Now, after Wave 7, we move on to Series 8, and this was sort of the end run of this sort of box design. Now, I haven't really talked too much on the box art because it did remain fairly much the same. The first series was kind of black cards that would have a comic book or slide in artwork behind it, and then since series 2 and up, there've been sort of these blue lightning effect cards that would just have the figures on the back. It wasn't anything super spectacular. Most of the design work was done on the figures themselves, but it is an iconic look for what I think is the better run of Spawn figures, and Series 8 here was the last to use this design, so it does sort of signify a bit of an end to an era. We are starting to see some of the more weirder characters and characters designed just for figures turn up here. So we have Renegade, which is a version of a Spawn from yesteryear, this one being a Native American. But what's cool with this character is that we also get a villain for him, which is Sabre, who's a sort of bison, American buffalo demon creature. So it was kind of cool here to get two different characters from that time period that you could have sort of your adventures and play with. We had a character who really doesn't fit into the Spawn line at all. He's an alien creature called Rotar, and he's called Rotar because he has a helicopter backpack now. it's a cool action figure. I did really like him as a kid, but he definitely comes across more from coming from like Masters of the Universe with sort of his gimmick than anything you regularly see in Spawn. We do get some cooler horror characters from here on out. So we have the Grave Digger, who's a sort of mummy looking chap that has all these demons coming out and through, and definitely fits with sort of the Spawn horror superhero dynamic. And we also have the Gatekeeper, who's kind of a cool, he almost looks like a Viking berserker. He has a weird sort of hookshot hand and a giant sword, but he also looks like an adversary Spawn might face when wandering around through the depths of hell. So these two seem to fit the aesthetic much more than Rotar. And probably one of my favourite side versions of Spawn, which was actually a Spawn character to receive his own comic book, pretty much around the exact time as this one, and that's the Curse of the Spawn. Now, I mentioned a character that had a similar story to him early on. This is a Spawn from a post-apocalyptic future, and they had, with Spawn being so popular this year, launched a comic called The Curse of the Spawn that followed the adventures of this Hellspawn. And he's a very nice design. He's sort of that bone-like armor over the symbiote of the Hell suit on him, and he's got more of a skull-like appearance to his face. So a very cool design. And of the Curse of the Spawn figures that they've done, this guy, even though he's the first, probably remains the best just because of cool articulation and some great design and sculpt work there. Now, moving on from Series 8, the next series we got technically doesn't fall into the numbered Spawn figure runs, but they did fit in quite well with your other figures, which is the movie Spawn. Now, these guys were everywhere in every toy store in 1997. The only problem was there wasn't a lot of Spawn. I don't think I ever saw the basic Spawn figure on shelves as a kid, even though I saw every other figure multiple times. So the basic Spawn's pretty cool. He's got sort of chain mails and big guns with him once again, that very 90s style of the comic, and it looks incredible. Like, the detail that went into sculpting this guy to look like the movie suit is just incredibly spot on, and so much detail. It's hard to put, like, compare this Spawn suit to the Jurassic World figures and the likenesses that they were capturing at the times here in 1997, and there's just no comparison. As bad as this movie was, the toys were great. So coming along with Spawn, we also have Al Simmons, which is the version of the character before he is killed and turned into the Hellspawn. Now, it's actually not the first Al Simmons figure to be released. There was an Al Simmons figure released as part of the Total Chaos line. Now, Total Chaos is a line I don't know too much about, and I'm not 100% sure if that is even the Al Simmons of the Spawn universe, as it comes in sort of this futuristic armor. It could just be another character having that name used, as the name Al Simmons comes from a roommate that Todd McFarlane had in university. It might have been a nod to Spawn in some way. It might actually be the character itself, so I'm not going to reference him 100%, but there was an Al Simmons character out before this one. But for Spawn lines, this is the first time we're seeing Al Simmons released here, which is the Michael J. White movie version, and a fairly good likeness on the actor there. Now, we also have Jessica Priest. Now, Jessica Priest is the character that kills Spawn in the movie, which is a nice little homage to Chapel being Priest, because they didn't have the rights for Chapel for the movie. And she is one of the main villains of the film, but this girl was definitely the worst of the offending peg warmers that was out at the time. Now, I did see a lot of Al Simmons, and also the next guy, Jason Wynn, which was the Martin Sheen evil villain character that hires Priest to kill Al Simmons, and he's sort of the boss of both of them. But Priest was the worst offender of the peg warmer syndrome that this line faced. Now, it's kind of actually interesting because they're all the same sort of super spy suit teched out guys. Now, I do like the design of Jason Wynn here, but it is a little bit overdone in comparison to what he was wearing in the movie. It almost looks like a version of the Riddler figure from the Batman Forever, where he had all those TV units pasted to his chest. I get that very much vibe from him. But not too bad Martin Sheen likeness running through there. And probably the coolest figure here in the wave after Spawn himself is the clown, based on the John Leguizamo's performance. Now, he has different add-on parts, so you can show him starting to turn into the Violator, which is pretty cool, but nice creepy design there, that guy. Now, this guy I did see a couple of times, but he went fairly early on and just left us with the other characters there to pegwarm. Now, there were some large scale figures done this year for the other characters in the movie. So you also had a Violator and Malbolger based on the film, and a Spawn with sort of big bat wings for the cape. Now, the cape was so huge they didn't actually use it in the movie too often, and it was some really bad CGI when they did, so I understand why they might have even stayed away from it more than normal, but it's was an interesting design. Oh, and I actually did forget a Spawn character, so we also do have Burnt Spawn, or Hobo Spawn, which is Hal Simmons when he returns from the dead in his sort of creepy burnt body design. Now, this was another peg warmer fairly early on there. He did move quicker than the other spy characters, but he was not too popular. Kids didn't want a man digging up his own grave action figure. Speaking of which, we also got some diorama pieces here. So we have the final battle, which is Spawn spiking up, fighting the Violator. We have a graveyard playset, which is Al Simmons and the clown digging up his own dead body. And we also have a alleyway fight between the Violator and Spawn, which is probably the more classic design here of your very basic Spawn design and a full body Violator, rather than the one emerging out of the back of the house unit wall, which once again was bad CGI, but the alleyway set is fairly cool. Now, the unfortunate things about these guys is they are much smaller than your average Spawn figure. They probably come in about the size of a Star Wars 3 3/4 figure, maybe slightly smaller, because if they had been scaled up with the regular figures, these things would have been fairly cool. I remember being tempted to pick up the Ali playset as a kid just to get a regular movie Spawn figure, but I had my chance at that the next year. Before I got that chance, we also had, hitting fairly close to the time of the movie figures, Series 9, which is kind of based on manga, which I'd only really just started to learn about at this time as being Japanese comics and cartoons. And these are some weird variations of the characters, and this is something we'd see for the most part moving forward from this point out in Spawn history, is very themed lines. So we have a manga version of the clown that's kind of a weird crab spider creature. We have a manga return to Ninja Spawn that has sort of almost looks like an executioner's mask than a ninja's mask. We have a manga violator that's once again a violator with a lot of cybernetic parts. Character that I think is really cool, which is the manga Spawn design. There is just something very manga-ish about the design compared to the other figures, and he almost looks like he's sort of a giant like robotic version of Spawn. There's actually not too much that's Spawn about him apart from the white eye masks and the M white shape on his chest, but I do really like that robotic design, so I give that a bit of a pass. We have a manga version of The Curse, which is another, sort of looks like a robot praying mantis. There's really nothing too much curse about him except for the color green. And we also have a goddess, which is the manga version of the Seferic angels running through there. And I remember I really hated this wave as a kid. Like, I didn't pick up any of these, even though I did like the manga Spawn. It just, I wanted more Spawn characters, and it was hard to find a regular Spawn character back then. It was one of the things that used to drive me nuts about the line, is that at this point I was still using Battleclad Spawn because I couldn't find the Spawn 3 or other versions. So I really just wanted a basic Spawn figure, and getting these weird variants of Spawn just drove me fairly batty. And characters that we had seen before and I could still pick up in comic stores done in these weird styles, particularly in a year that Spawn film was out, I was all in and all about Spawn and reading the comics, and just wanted more based off that lore than weird variants. But Todd wanted to go through with these different designs, and that's what he wanted to do, and it's definitely a way that he was taking the product forward here in the future. Now, coming through to 1998, this is where I finally got my movie Spawn, which was a spiked Spawn in the display case, or as it's locally known, is movie fish tank Spawn. So once again, it was one of those cool fish tank pieces, and it's Spawn with sort of his spikes up in his shoulders and around on different gauntlets and that on his legs and thighs. Now, he did have big spike pieces coming out of his arms and under his lower arm there. Now, I actually took an X-Acto blade to these and cut them off, and he became a fairly cool basic Spawn figure. It was, even though it's not really a lot of reuse, it's basically just the chest and the head, the only pieces reused from that original movie Spawn, because he's got spikes on the other parts. I did really like this because it was my way of getting that basic Spawn figure. Now, we actually saw a lot of these fish tank special guys come out this year. We had the Poacher, which, although he's listed as a Spawn figure here, is actually from that Total Chaos line. We had a new version of the Goddess from the manga line, and we also had the Burnt Spawn, which was based off the Spawn 3 figure, which I talked about earlier, with the cool rubber cape that's draped down around him over the shoulders. Now, this became my basic comic Spawn to play with, and I love this guy. This guy got a lot of use. He also came with the wolf accessory that came in that same pack. Some cool designs. There's all sort of maggots picking on the flesh of his face up there, and this was around the time they were using this sort of maskless head a lot more in the comics, so it wasn't too bad of a figure to have, but I still really wanted a basic Spawn there with the full mask on. But I really do love this figure today. I've grown to love him even more through nostalgia. You also got a couple of other weird pieces coming out. So you had a Tiffany that's no longer had rooted hair that the original one had. It had sculpted hair that was released as a special figure. You also got a figure of Todd McFarlane himself based on his appearance as a hobo in the movie that Spawn walks past when he's first fighting the Violator. And you also get a bag of demons that you can put with your Grave Digger figure. Now, the main lines of Spawn being released, though, you had Spawn Series 10, which unfortunately for young Eddie followed the manga versions of these characters. So you had manga Overt Kill, who does bear a lot of resemblance to Overt Kill. Luckily, he already had a lot of cybernetic parts. And this is something, too. So it didn't really have that sort of large Disney eye manga look to them. They were basically just robot versions of the character, because there was a lot of Gundam and Neon Genesis was sort of manga back then in the late 90s. So it's not quite the manga designs you might think of today with big Dragon Ball Z hair type designs. But there was a manga version of Zombie Spawn, which here is called Dead Spawn. There was a new character called Cybertooth. There was a manga version of Samurai Spawn, which is weird because we will get to Samurai Spawn, but this was the first version we were getting of him, and he was a manga version of Samurai Spawn, so super Japanese culture going on in this figure. We had a manga version of the Freak, which does have that creepy freak smile on the design, but apart from that, looks like a weird insect type creature. And we have a manga cyber version of the Violator, which kind of looks like the Terminator exoskeleton that would be underneath the Violator there from the last run, which is just a weird sort of, it kind of looks like Swiss Miss if anyone ever saw Spider-Man turn off the dark on Broadway. Now, stepping away from the manga design for Series 11 of Spawn, they went back to a yesteryear version of Spawn, which is something that I quite like, and went with a Dark Ages of Spawn. Here we got some medieval-themed characters. So we have the Raider, which is kind of like a... I'm blanking on the name, where you have a half-human... half horse sort of Sagittarius centaur creature there, who's a very cool and creepy design. You have a creature known as the Spellcaster, who kind of looks like the demon from Wishmaster. He's sort of got like bat wings and sort of an evil demonic body. You have the Skull Queen, which kind of bears a bit of resemblance to kind of a cross between Angela and maybe a Red Sonja type. There seems to be a lot of similarities to the design of the women here in these figure forms. You have a creature known as Ogre, which is sort of a big brute creature with sort of a little demon riding on top. And, sorry, my file is... There we go. We also get a dragon... creature known as the Horrid, and we get a Night Spawn, which is Spawn the Black Knight, who's this huge behemoth of a Spawn. He's probably the biggest of the different versions of Spawn we'll get over time, where he's got some armor on him, but you're also seeing a lot of the burnt underside of his flesh poking through on his arms and legs. And he is a massive figure that just fit on a single blister card. He's quite cool. He's got a removable helm, and you can see sort of the disturbing melted head underneath there, and has a massive battle axe, which is a very cool design running through there. Now, there was actually a Dark Ages Spawn comic out at the time. I'm yet to actually pick up and read the Dark Ages Spawn comic. It is something that I did always want to read, but it never sort of came out at newsstands here and was hard to track down back issues of. Now, that's a starter Spawn called Lord Covenant. Now, I don't believe that the Black Knight is that Spawn himself, but I could be wrong there on that. But I think it was a little bit of a wait before we sort of got a Spawn based on Lord Covenant from the actual Spawn Dark Ages comic. Moving on to Spawn 12, this was a hard line to track down, at least for me here in Australia, but it was kind of what I'd been wanting to, which is a return more to some classic Spawn lore, even though there's some weird things thrown in here in this wave. So we have Top Gun and Bottom Line. I really don't know too much about these characters at all, and I get them mixed up quite frequently. They're sort of big, giant robotic creatures. Now, this was at a time where I had sort of stopped reading the current issues of Spawn. I was more focusing on filling in the back issues that I'd missed with characters that I'd known through action figures. So these guys might have been in the books and slipped past me, but as far as I know, they weren't actually in the books at all. They were just created for this line. I could be wrong here on that, but if they did, they didn't stand out too much at all. We also have a reanimated Spawn, which is kind of like a Spawn based off the Reanimator. That's this weird, almost alien looking thing with bat wings. Now, once again, I don't think this guy's from the comics. I don't know how he sort of fits in, even with Spawn lore, since Spawn is kind of a reanimated creature anyway, but this guy seems to have no actual Spawn design to him, whether he's a villain or taking off that run, but is a interesting design. And I remember this guy quite clearly in my mind because I was in an old store, an old toy store here in Melbourne known as Toy Kingdom, and I would have been about 12 years old, and I remember there being another 12-year-old boy there in the figure aisle with me, and for some reason, though it never really happened, I started talking to him, and he was kind of an action figure collecting guy too, and even though we were starting to get towards the older end of it, we clearly did still have a love, and it was one of the first times I remember talking about action figures almost in an adult way. And I remember talking about Spawn, like, oh, do you buy Spawn? He's like, oh, I pick up some from time to time. And it's like, yeah, you know, sometimes you just want a Spawn figure and they throw you something silly like a reanimated Spawn. And we both laughed. So I remember getting my first action figure joke laugh off reanimated Spawn. So he's got a lot of strong memories from that name there at his expense. We also get a creature called the Heap. Now, the Heap's interesting because he is an old comic book character. He's basically a swamp thing or a man thing, but he actually goes back even long before that. He was around, I believe, in the 1950s, but I could be wrong there. But he sort of jumped from licensee to licensee and ended up at Image at a point, and Todd managed to get a figure of him made here, but he really was sort of Swamp Thing before there was a Swamp Thing. We also see the return of the fan favourite Cygor, the cybernetic gorilla. Now, this was the deluxe figure that came in a huge box. I remember this guy being a very hot ticket item when he was released. And we also saw a character called the Creech. Now, the Creech, from memory, did turn up for an issue or two of Spawn, but he actually came from his own independent comic book series by the creator Greg Capullo, who both wrote and drew the Creech book. He's sort of a government experiment gone wrong. Now, Greg Capullo, probably most famous for these days, being on Scott Snyder's Batman run, and DC Direct have a whole line of action figures based on his Batman figure designs, but he worked on Spawn for many, many years. And I do quite like this, that Todd gave his probably most prolific artist on the book a chance to get his character realized in plastic as part of the Spawn line. And he's a great sort of design. He almost looks like dreadlocks, metal dreadlocks on that original suit that Doomsday wore when he was down on the bunker, but a cool piece. But the standout figure in this wave once again goes to Al Simmons himself with Spawn version 4. That's a very heavily armored version of the character. He comes with heaps of massive oversized guns. Now, I know a lot of people were disappointed with the Marvel Legends Cable guns that he came with. This guy would be a great guy to pick up and add these guns to Cable himself, because they are very cool design Cable looking pieces of hardware with just millions of different magazines and different barrels coming off them and scopes on pistols. But he was great, and he was one of those figures that you could really armor up and hold all his weapons in one spot. So he could hold two guns in each hand, plug a gun into the back. You had a knife with a sheath in it, his pistol pegged on to his legs, and while he didn't have a cape, he had sort of the tatters of it into a bandana, which you could put around the neck. Now, my one, unfortunately, is missing that bandana. I'm pretty sure I know which box it is, but I need to go through and dig it out. But he is a great piece. And with Series 12 here, we also sort of started to see a jump in the size scale that was going on. So they had moved up a slight bit more. So he doesn't scale overly well with the other Spawn figures that you might have had previously in your collections, but he's a great figure, particularly if you prefer that more armored up version of Spawn. Now, that moves us through into 1999, where the Spawn Collector Club was still releasing its own unique figures coming out. So we had a Cogliostro finally, which is sort of like the Yoda to Spawn. But I remember a lot of collectors being disappointed that Cogliostro here was in his medieval knight design and not sort of his homeless bum design, which many would have preferred him in. We also have a Terry Fitzgerald figure, who is a very important supporting cast member to Spawn, who you probably think this is a 24 figure. It's just a guy in a suit pointing a gun. So a good way to get a figure out there without having to put an interesting design into a toy line, which Todd would use his collector club for. In a lot of ways. In fact, coming up, we'll get a lot of important characters released in this manner. Now, Series 13 of Spawn was based on the Curse of the Spawn comic book. So we have a Zeus character that pretty much looks like the Greek god Zeus. We have a Uranus, which is kind of like a snake guy shedding his skin. That's kind of this weird, cool, icky monster piece. We have a priest and Mr. Obersmith, which I believe is the priest character that replaced Chapel, once again for the character copyright reasons, carrying sort of like a creature on a chain that looks like Pumpkinhead. We have Medusa, that's a very horrific version of the Gorgon Queen, with a couple of different men made out of stone as accessory pieces. We have a fella called Hatchet, that's this weird zombie guy. He almost looks like an update to the Grave Digger design. We have a guy called the Dislocator, who's this weird ogre, heavily teched out, plenty of guns and wires coming off him there, tank dude. And we also have Curse of the Spawn 2. That is a neat design. He's got sort of these bat wings. He comes with lots of different bats as accessories that kind of, their wings just slightly touch, and you can connect them on to different parts of the bones that come out, and it looks like he's just got all these bats flying around him. Really cool accessory piece to add to a Batman figure, if anyone's doing some dioramas with their DC case. But he's a cool design. He's sort of got like a cool charred blackened effect on his burnt skin underneath sort of some bone armor that he's wearing here. But I liked what they did with this buck a little bit later on, which I'll come back to. But once again, if you want a Curse of the Spawn figure, I recommend going back to that Series 8 version of the character. But Curse of the Spawn was actually selling really well at this point, so it's not too surprising that he got his own comic book wave released here. Now, coming up after this series, we saw a return to the Dark Ages era of Spawn. So we have the Necromancer, which once again is a lady in very slinky armor. We have the King Viper character, which is sort of like the Sangster. He's a weird snake demon creature, this one much more of a cobra design. We have the Tormentor, which is sort of a weird ogre guy coming through with sort of like an executioner's mask running over his head, and he's got two heads itself, one of them running through there. We have the Spawn, the Blackheart, which was a weird design of Spawn. I actually really like this figure, except he has four arms, which just kind of bothered me, but he has a cool way of integrating the Spawn mask, where it's an iron piece where you would have the white marks of the mask, and then it's a chainmail around the side, so it really captures that great medieval version of the mask. But yeah, the forearms just always bothered me on that Spawn design. I just, weird little nitpicks sometimes with their designs would catch me off. We had also Iguantus and Tuskadon, which is sort of a weird little demon creature riding on a larger beast, which would take up most of the bulk of the packet. And a huge standout star of this wave is the Mandarin Spawn, who is a hyper detailed design of a Spawn based off medieval China. And he's in a really cool, amazing sculpt. He has sort of that worm dragon design on his chest running through there. There's little geisha masks and sort of all that detail you would see in a Mandarin statue just come out in this design. Doesn't really look like a Spawn, but it's a fantastic piece. Now, young Eddie didn't like this figure. I didn't understand what all the hype was over it. It wasn't an interesting character to me. But modern day Eddie now sees the error of his ways and really does see the really amazing and unique design sculpt work. And the amount of paint applications in this thing is insane. This is an era of figures that we will never see again. I don't think that just made it out to retail with all this level of design. Really fantastic piece. It doesn't go too bad on the secondary market these days, and there were a few releases of it, so you can track it down, but he definitely does stand out as a highlight of the Spawn designs here of this time. Moving on to Series 15, and this is where things really started to go downhill for me with the Spawn toy line, where they were just going kind of bonkers with just any idea being thrown up against the wall. Still some amazing sculpt work going on. But Series 15 of Spawn, which was the Techno Spawn wave, is a bunch of animals with cybernetic parts added to them. So you had Warzone, who was a warthog, Steeltrap, which was a crocodile, or he might have actually been an alligator, looking at his teeth there, could be wrong. We had Iron Express, which was a cybernetic ostrich. We have Grey Thunder, who was sort of a tank version of a rhino. And we had Code Red, which is sort of a space gorilla character. And we have a Cyber Spawn, which isn't a bad design. He's sort of got this metal M part of his chest, which expands right out and becomes shoulder pieces. And there's a little bit of the Spawn colouring going on there with the white marks on the face and a black suit. And some really cool design work going on these figures. Some really amazing effort put in, but just not interesting characters that people wanted to grab. And I do remember this entire wave peg warming at our local Big W here. They got it in. The Big W had just opened. I was excited to run in and see what was going to be in the toy aisle, since the store was brand new. And yeah, it was just pegs of these guys, and they sat there for years. So I don't know how they thought this wave was going to sell. I'm sure this could be someone's absolute favorite wave, and I wouldn't blame it, because there's some really cool design concepts going on in here. And it's something that, you know, if you'd release this today and maybe not even put Spawn on the label, just tried to create an original toy line, it might do really well. But as someone who's looking forward to more Spawn figures, this wave was very much a disappointment. But that brings us forward into the next millennium, and we have Spawn in 2000. Now, the Spawn Collectors Club was still going ahead and releasing figures specially for their collectors. We had a re-release of Spawn 4, this time with sort of, rather than having his mask on, he's got the hamburger head and sort of a techno scope over his eye. We had a more Spawn color design to Cogliostro. We had a version of the 12-inch Mandarin Spawn. Once again, that character was so hot, got a lot of different releases. We have the Future Spawn re-release, but this time, rather than being done in red, it's done in more Spawn black, whites, and greens. And we also had our first figures of Wanda and Cyan, which Wanda was Spawn's wife when he was alive, and Cyan is the daughter that her and Terry had in the years that Spawn was dead before he came back to the world of the living, and definitely important parts of the Spawn lore. But once again, figures that might not have sold too well at regular retail, so a good way of getting those figures out. Speaking of figures that didn't sell too well at retail, much like the Techno Wave, we then had Spawn Series 16, which was the Riders Wave. So it was four characters, not in scale with any other Spawns we'd gotten up until that point, that came with overly futuristic designed motorbikes. And once again, like much like that Techno Wave, this could have sold well if it was just a wave of new IP figures onto themselves, but there's not even an actual technical Spawn in this wave. I don't know the mythos behind these guys. I never picked them up or really liked them. Maybe they're all meant to be Spawn. Maybe one of them actually is meant to be Spawn, but none of them has it in its name. So you have the Green Vapor, Flashpoint, Afterburner, and Eclipse 5000. And these guys just really didn't do much for me. This, as much as I was disappointed in the Techno Wave, this wave just kind of angered me, and I thought I was really near done with Spawn at this point, up until we got to our next wave, which was heralded by me as finally getting what I wanted. But as they say, you should be careful what you wish for. So we came at the end of 2000 with Spawn Series 17, and this was a return to classic Spawn characters. So we had a new Tiffany, who is fantastically sculpted and looks like a sort of war lord at the end of a medieval battlefield fought by heaven. There we had a new medieval Spawn who was looking great, much more realistic chainmail design, pull-off mask piece, has sort of the big axe there, but still hints of that original character that had come before. We had a new fully sculpted Malbolger figure who once again was huge and stuck just on a simple blister card, but some really great design work going on with him there. We had a new clown figure, which was a bit of a break from the other clowns. This one's in a sort of Hannibal Lecter straight jacket and mask, but if you took the mask off, his sort of jaw and skin has been ripped away to reveal more sort of torn flesh underneath. And we finally get our first comic book version of Al Simmons as he looked before his death. And the highlight for me was a return to a very classic style version of the Al Simmons Spawn, which is Spawn 5. It's him in that sort of Greg Capullo design of the big gauntlet arm, the big massive boot on the right, and he's standing up on a pile of skulls, and he's sort of pulling his cape over his face with sort of a Dracula sweep type manner, and it looks absolutely fantastic. all these figures look incredible. The detail and paintwork that was put into this wave is some of the best attention any action figures have ever got. But this was also the beginning of mixed statue. Now, if any of you guys out there haven't heard this phrase before, it came from the fact that the McFarlane toys up until this point really were action figures. They were hyper detailed. They didn't always have the best articulation, but you had your basic levels, you know, twist head, arm articulation, leg articulation points. And this was really the start of them dropping that in favour of the sculpt, which there are people who are fans of, but for a lot of collectors, this was their end point. And it is a shame because we were getting these really amazing sculpted pieces and so much incredible paintwork. And the weird thing is that, and I think this probably annoyed more people than if they had just been statues, but these guys did have articulation. So let's take my favorite, which was Spawn 5, who's still a favorite figure of mine to this day. Now, most of these figures, a lot like a lot of the waves I've mentioned so far, did end up becoming peg warmers on the shelves. So I remember Tiffany, Al Simmons, and the clown you could find quite easily at any store. Malbolger you could find from time to time, but the main guy Spawn here was pretty much impossible to find. I actually got quite lucky and found him at a discount store for $5, but he was clearly the fan favorite and the guy that sold like crazy. But I remembered searching toy store after toy store for this guy. And then when I finally had him, I was a bit disappointed. So he has the incredible sculpt, but he's got a wrist swivel and a bicep swivel on his left arm. So you can sort of move it up and down as if he's waving you over. He has a wrist swivel in his right arm, but the positions from the shoulder down are very much locked in with the sculpt. There's no articulation, so you can't actually move the majority of his arms at all. And he has a one thigh swivel cut, so he could twist his leg almost to see him sitting awkwardly. And he has swivels in the boots, and his head can turn, but because of the shape of his neck on that swivel, it is always going to look at a weird angle. So you could get him in these awkward deformed poses, but you really didn't need to pose him at all, because there was only ever going to be one position that he looked good in that you would actually pose him with in any manner, standing on that pile of skulls there, which is a shame. And it's kind of frustrating because it's like, well, you put points of articulation in, why didn't you just put different ones in and move it around? This figure would have been near perfect, but that was the choice that they decided to do, and something that they would be following with a lot of the figures, but not all, moving forward. But this definitely was the herald of the mixed statue era of McFarlane toys. And you know what, guys, this is also where I'm going to leave this episode, because for a mini episode I've been talking for a very long time. It's a lot of Spawn to take in. This is almost the length of the actual feature length film, and we're only about halfway through the actual Spawn history here. So I'm going to drop it off here, and I will return in the near future, and we'll look at Spawn as it goes forward from series 18 and onwards. So thank you for joining me, guys.
What the hell do you want?
Right to the point. I like that, I really do. Because it's not what the hell do I want, it's what does hell want to do with you. Get it? I'll be back for you, baby. When I come, you better be ready to rock and roll. This is the farewell bash for humanity. And you, you're bringing the party favors.
Just before we finish up, if you'd like to hear your questions, comments, or suggestions on future episodes, email us at podcast@actionfigureblues.com and you may just hear it read out. You can also find us over at Facebook by searching Action Figure Blues, over at Instagram, that's run by the wonderful Luke, once again by searching Action Figure Blues, or you could even find me, Eddie, on Twitter at Eddie. EDIE3429 and give me your feedback on this Spawn episode. It's a bit of a pet project on mine. Have I missed any important facts? Do you have any great Spawn stories? Were you allowed to buy Spawn, or did your mum not like the piece of wood with the nail going through it as well? I'd definitely love to hear what any of you guys have to say on this subject. Obviously, I've talked about it for nearly 2 hours here now. I'm always happy to talk about it a little bit more. Once again, just a reminder, the regular shows are on hiatus, but definitely keep an eye out on your feed. There is some more exciting things on their way. So guys, I'm going to leave it there, and as always, good journey.
The Action Figure Blues podcast can be found on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and can be downloaded direct from actionfigureblues.com. Wherever you listen, please take a moment to leave a positive rating and review to help others find our show. We also have an active fan forum at afbforum.com where you can join with all the hosts of the podcast and many other collectors to discuss news, reviews, old lines, and trade and sell in a safe community. Please join us there. While you're at actionfigureblues.com, don't forget to check out our sponsors like Mike's Comics and Stuff, The Pop Culture Superstore, Bam Kapow, and Davy Boy's Toys. You can find us on Twitter at AFBlues, on Instagram at Action Figure Blues, and on Facebook at facebook.com/ActionFigureBlues. Thanks for listening!